Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to begin our study of the Gospel of John tonight. So I want to just ask you to open your Bible there to the Gospel of John, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Dear Father, we come before you and ask for your blessing on your word this evening. We thank you for it, and thank you for each person that's here tonight. Father, and thank you for those that are streaming and those that will be watching it later on. And we want to ask your blessing now and thank you for the time and pray that your Spirit would come and teach us and draw us near to you through this wonderful scripture. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you all hear me? I think we're a little bit loud. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's take a closer look at this. In the beginning was the Word. It's noteworthy that he begins with this term, in the beginning was the Word. First of all, what beginning is he talking about? Well, he's clearly talking about the beginning of the beginning, isn't he? He's talking about the creation whenever he says in verse 3, all things were made by him. So whenever we're talking about in the beginning was the Word, we're talking about Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We are talking about the beginning of the universe. In the beginning was the Word. And the term word there, of course, is a very important word, and it means literally word. In the beginning was the Word. We use words. What does the term word mean? Well, the term word means a sound that communicates something. Now, we can make sounds that don't communicate anything, can't we? We can go, well, that means nothing. That's just a noise. But whenever we say weather, or if we say stars, now those are sounds that are articulate. Those are specific kinds of sounds that are intended to communicate a thought. So if a person has a thought in his mind, like the stars in the sky, seeing a star, and he uses the word star, then if we're speaking to someone that has a common background with us, that sound will be translated in their mind into something similar. We could use the word tree, couldn't we? But a person from Florida, if you say the word tree, they may think of a palm tree, right? Somebody up north might think of a pine tree or a spruce tree. Here in Arkansas, we might think of an oak tree, but so some terms are not specific, but they do get us into the ballpark. So the idea of a word is a sound that is intended to communicate. It's intended to take a thought from one person and put it into generate that same thought in another person. That's what the term word means. It's a means of communication. It's a means of communication. So in the beginning was the Word. And this Word that he's talking about here, I've got to backtrack just a smidgen. We make scratches on paper, don't we? Or we hit the keys on a computer in order to get images, or that we call letters, and the letters represent the sounds of the words. So I sure wanted to include that. But in the beginning was the Word, and he wants us to know that this Word was a person. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Well, him is a reference to the one who is called the Word. There was one in the beginning with God who had the title, the Word. This one that was in the beginning with God had the title the Word because he is the one that is responsible to communicate something, to communicate whatever. And of course, the one that was called the Word was in eternity past with God. And this one that is called the Word communicates the mind and the heart of God, so that the very creation is a communication of God. I'd like to ask you to come with me to Psalm number 19. Psalm number 19 expresses that idea. Let's go there. Psalm 19, which tells us this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Do you see the very creation communicates, and it communicates to us about God, communicates the glory of God. Let's go back to the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So all the way back into eternity past, before anything was created, this being who is called the Word was with God. So this being that was called the Word was not a part of creation. This being that is called the Word was there with God before the creation. And he points out here in verse 1, and the Word was God. The Word was God. So the Word was God. God was God, and as we're going to see here in the book of John, that's a reference to the Father. The Father was God, and this one called the Word is God. And he was in the beginning. He was in the beginning. So I'd like for us to notice, let's jump down to verse 14. We're going to bounce around just a little bit here in this. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This one called the Word is the one who was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I'd like to look with you at a few passages that point out to us, that reinforce the idea that the one that's called the Word was with God in the beginning. Come with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Here in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, we see Christ in the garden praying to the Father before he's about to be tried and executed. And his prayer here is he's ultimately going to be praying for those that are going to believe on him through the word of the apostles. But I want you to notice what he says here as he begins this prayer. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Do you see what Christ is saying there? Christ was with the Father, and Christ shared glory with the Father before the world was. So before the world existed, Christ shared the glory of the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, God doesn't share his glory with anything that's not God. Let's go also to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. We see here the one called the Word, who we know as Jesus, the one with the title of the Word, the one that's the revealer, the communicator of God to us, was with God before the world began. what we see in Peter is what they were talking about, what they were planning. So come with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20. It says this. Ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But, the implication is, but ye were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last time for you. So we were redeemed. The penalty of our sin was paid for by Christ, who suffered for our sins as of an unblemished lamb. He was put to death on our behalf. And this was planned. He was foreordained to be the one that was going to pay for our sins before the foundation of the world, before creation, when the Word was with God. He planned that He was going to be the one that would give His life for us. Also, come with me to the book of Colossians, regarding Christ being there before the world began. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verses 13 through 17. In reference to the Father in verse 12. The Father, verse 13. The Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now check this out. Who is the image of the invisible God, His dear Son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. All things are held together by Him. We really need to get an exalted picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? He is the Creator. He's the Creator. And not only did He create everything, He sustains everything. By Him all things consist. All things are held together by Him. Let's go also one more place here in the Gospel of John. John chapter 8, verses 56 through 58. John 8, 56 through 58. Listen to what He says here. Now, what's happening here is one of many confrontations between Jesus and the Jews, the leaders of the Jews. And He says here in verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, passing through the midst of them, and so passed by. Before Abraham was, I am." Of course, we know from the book of Exodus that is God's name. Whenever the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush, let's turn there and look at that. When the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush to send him to Egypt to call on Pharaoh to release the children of Israel from bondage so that the Lord could take them to the promised land, Moses wanted to know who he was supposed to say sent him to them. Exodus chapter 3. Here in Exodus 3, we see Moses, the shepherd. Moses, the shepherd, on the backside of the desert, as the scripture says. And verse 11 says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Whenever Jesus told the Jews there before Abraham was, I am, he was applying God's name to himself. And of course he could do that because he was in the beginning with God. Well, that brings us up to a very important question, and that's this. How could Jesus be God and God be God? How can you have two people and have one God? And while we're at it, let's throw in the Holy Spirit into this as well. Because the scripture tells us there in Genesis chapter 1, it says, In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So the Spirit of God was there also. So we have the Spirit of God, we have the Father, and we have Jesus. And what we see here in the Gospel of John, the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word was God. How can we have three beings and have one God? And I know that this is a topic that could take a whole 6 or 8 lessons in itself. But I just want to cut to the chase and give you an explanation of how you could have three beings and one God. And the place I would like to go to see that is Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, we see a group of people whom God calls one. So there's a group and they are called one. Genesis chapter 11. Now, this is not a good group of people here, but they are one. It says here in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now, I'd like to ask you to stop right there with me. We've got several people here in the sanctuary, and we are of one language and of one speech. Now, I know from time to time Alexandra comes out with some French, and Doug back there is learning some Spanish, and we may have some other folks in here with a smattering of other languages, but we are of one language. English is our primary language. Now, wait a second. Of one language and one speech. One language. So we have one language here. Can we say that? We have one language here. And that language is Richard's. Brother Richard's language. And it's Brother Stephen's language. And it's Miss Catherine's language. So there's three languages there. We have Brother Richard's language, Brother Steve's language, and we have Miss Catherine's language. So we have three languages, right? Okay. Yes, we do. We actually do have three languages, but we also have one language. And the reason that we can say that there is one language is that they are the same. They are the same. They have the same characteristics, same vocabulary, the same sentence structure, same syntax, all of that kind of thing. And because they are the same, we say that there is one. Well, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men building. And the Lord said, Behold, there is one person down there. Is that what your Bible says? No, it says, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confuse their language. Well, let who go down? Let us go down, and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Well, we'll just stop right there. I just want you to notice in verse 6, the Lord said, behold, the people is one. The people is one. The Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, is one. So in the same way that the people is one, the Lord is one. So when we're talking about the singularity of God, we're not talking about a one single being. No, the scripture shows us that there are three separate beings that are called God. Remember, Jesus told us in the book of John, chapter 17, verse 5, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So Jesus was there as the Word before the world was, sharing in the glory of the Father. And yet they are one. And as we go on in John 17, and we'll delve into that more when we get over there, but the Lord prayed that as He and the Father were one, He prayed that those who believe on Him would be one. Well, did He mean that He wanted us all to somehow have a Vulcan mind meld, you know, or that we're all going to just, you know, be stuck together? Or something like, no, He's talking about unity, unity, unity. The Lord Jesus Christ is exactly the same as the Father and exactly the same as the Holy Spirit. They all three have the same righteous nature. They are all three love. They are all three just. And they are all three righteous. They all three are spirit. And they all three have those same attributes of omnipotence and omnipresence and omniscience. But Christ gave up the usage of some of those attributes, didn't He? When He became a man, the scripture says he made Himself of no reputation. He emptied Himself so that there were some things He didn't know. Whenever He was talking to the disciples there in Matthew 24, He told them that He didn't even know the day or the hour of His return. He had given up His omniscience, but He was God. He was God. Let's continue. And back in the book of John, and let's now go to the Gospel of John, verses chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In Him was life. Have you heard of the law of biogenesis? The law of biogenesis is simply that life comes from pre-existing life. Life does not spontaneously generate from inorganic material. That's impossible. It's never been observed. It has never been made to happen. Life always comes from pre-existing life. And that was established back in the 1800s. The most famous person to establish that was Louis Pasteur, who studied cow droppings. People used to think that cow droppings generated life in themselves, but Pasteur discovered, nope, there are fly eggs in there, and so it didn't work out the way people thought. The truth is that life comes from life. Consider what He's telling us here. In the Word was life. What is the explanation for the fact that human beings live? Well, we are the result of the life of our parents, aren't we? Who were generated by their parents, who were generated by their parents, going all the way back to the very first man. How did the very first man get life? It came from God. It came from the Word. In Him was life. There had to be something. Now, hold on to your seat here. There had to be something that has always existed that was alive. If we could ever go back to a time that nothing living existed, then nothing living is all that would exist today. Inorganic, dead matter. It takes life to produce life. In Him was life. In the Word was life. And the life was the light of men. Of course, life is what gives us the ability to be aware. Right? And the scripture here uses the term light. The life was the light of men. Light is what enables us to be aware of what's going on around us. I have understood that approximately 80% of our awareness is what we see. 80% of our awareness is what we see. Of course, a person that's deaf takes in all of their awareness through what they hear, vibrations, touch, and all of that. But for those who can see, the vast majority of our consciousness and our awareness is what we see. Can we see without light? No. The life was the light of men. Life is what gives us the ability to be aware and to function. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, John's jumping ahead here, isn't he? To the fact that the Word, as he's going to say in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He says here in verse 5, the light shineth in darkness. The light, the Word, the one in whom was life, came into the world, and the light shined in darkness. What was the response of the darkness? The darkness comprehended it not. Now, that's an interesting term, isn't it? Sometimes we use the term comprehend to mean understand, and that's legitimate. But we also use the word comprehend to mean to include something like this. This building comprehends all of the pews that are in it, and the choir chairs and everything. All these things are comprehended in the room, which means they're included in the room. The room includes the ceiling lights and the carpet and all. The room comprehends or includes all of that. So this word comprehend is a noteworthy word both in the English and in the Greek, and they're both just as meaningful. And in the same way. So whenever it tells us here that the light shined in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not, the darkness was not able to take it in. The darkness was not able to include it and accept it. And of course, because of that, it couldn't understand it. So it was beyond the comprehension, beyond the understanding, and beyond the acceptance of the darkness. We'll quickly just walk through the rest of this, and then we'll delve into it a little bit more next time. But let's go to verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That true light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Brother Brian mentioned to us this morning about how human beings have an instinctual awareness of the reality of God. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, He created this world, and he came into the world, and the world did not receive him. But in addition to that, he made a covenant with a specific nation of people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were his people. He came unto them. He was born as one of them. He grew up among them. He came to his own, not only his own world, but came to his own people, and they received him not. But as many as received him, as a whole, people rejected him. But in that whole, there are individuals here and there that did receive him. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, next time we get together, we'll dive in a little bit more into verses 6 through 14. Thanks for your attention. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll move on to our panel. Dear Father, we come before you and want to thank you, Father, for the Scriptures. Lord, I pray that you will really open up our understanding, that we would have a greater appreciation and awe and reverence for our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, and the fact that he is the Creator, that we are alive, even alive physically, because of him. And that those of us that have received him have spiritual life through him. Father, we want to ask your blessing now on your word into our lives, and pray your blessing now on the panel. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.